I've got a one of my readers here that's got a really, really interesting story. So please, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Adrian, and I spent the better part of my late teens and 20s involved in the ex-gay movement.
So what does actually, when you say ex-gay movement, what does that mean?
The ex-gay movement is a primarily fundamentalist Christian movement that believes that through prayer, counselling, and other activities, that gay people can be made heterosexual or at least celibate, if not straight.
So, tell me about that. So you were obviously initially gay.
Yeah. Look, I grew up involved in a fairly moderate Uniting Church as a kid. Was very involved in the church, running youth camps and stuff from quite a young age. But I also was sexually active from quite a young age as well. So suffice to say, my teens involved maybe going to church on a Sunday, doing beats Sunday afternoon, and then coming back and singing in the choir Sunday night. It was all very disjointed.
And at that particular time, did you feel happy, or you felt okay about all of this, or?
I felt very trapped. The church said, "You're gay, you're going to hell." End of story. There was no discussion. There was no accepting church movements 30 years ago. And what I could find, what little psychology I could dredge up in school libraries, was, you know, said the same thing, that there, you know, change was not possible for gay people. So I felt trapped. I felt that I wanted to be a good Christian, but I also knew that I was gay and didn't really know a way out. So
is that how you came to be involved with Exodus, which is one of the big movements?
Yeah, look, I had a few suicide attempts trying to get through stuff, and eventually at age 17, a friend of mine said that she knew someone who said he used to be gay who was now straight, and he'd been involved in this group. So this seemed to be the answer to me. It seemed to be the get-out-of-jail card, that, oh, there is a way for me to become straight that the church approves, so I can, you know, keep my faith.
So just to go back, though, the drive of you becoming part of this group, was it because you didn't like being gay, or was it because you felt you needed to meet the standards of the church?
I felt I needed to meet the standards of the church. I saw my future in the church. I was studying in high school. I was studying tertiary theological subjects. I was going to become a minister in the church. And so this was the solution to me, to the dilemma of being gay and being able to stay in the church. I wasn't exactly unhappy being gay. I quite enjoyed it. But I wanted the church more.
Okay, fair enough. So you obviously were introduced to this group or this person, and what happened at that stage?
Look, I changed churches to start going to the church he was involved with, and started counselling, doing a book called Living Waters, which was written by an American who had supposedly become straight. After about 18 months, I got involved with Exodus proper in Victoria here, and started meeting in their support group out in Blackburn, and eventually that moved to South Melbourne after the existing Blackburn leaders decided that they weren't going to be straight after all and got into bed with each other.
That's kind of ironic.
Yeah, another funny story there. But once in South Melbourne, I quickly established myself in the both in the church that Exodus was based out of and within the organisation itself, and was celibate for the next 8.5 years. I was in leadership in that group. I used to public speak on behalf of the group. I used to go to churches anywhere from 50 people to 5,000 people and say, you know, God's making me straight, isn't it wonderful?
And when you were giving those talks, what were you thinking? Were you?
I was desperately trying to make it real. I was desperately trying to prove to myself that it was happening. I knew inside I was not changing. I didn't feel any less gay. I knew that all the desires were still there, but there was so much to lose. I was employed by the church, so if I changed my mind, I would lose everything. And in fact, when I did eventually leave, I did lose an awful lot.
And what led to you leaving?
I reached a point of a theological impasse that no one could answer. I put it to the church and Exodus leadership that either, well, that they had seen me over the last 8.5, 9, 10 years. I had been celibate. I had done the Bible studies. I'd attended the groups. I'd spent tens of thousands of dollars on tapes and lectures and counselling and prayers and everything conceivable. I was one of very few people in the group that could say that I had been successful even to the point of celibacy. And I said, so either God is not powerful enough to change me, and you can't look at the universe and say God created all of this, yet he's not strong enough to change Adrian, or God doesn't want to change me. And I left them with that choice, and they basically said to me, Adrian, you are too dangerous for us to now have in our church. You will leave. And I was excommunicated from the church and pretty much only went back once more after that.
So, just thinking from the top of my head, like, if you spent 8.5 years celibate, that, you know, what other things were going on? Were you depressed? Were you anxious? Was there some other... Because, like, to spend so much energy pushing down those feelings, someone's got to give somewhere.
I was experiencing depression, which I now realise I'd been experiencing for a long time before I even got involved, but hadn't identified. Otherwise, I was just busy all the time. I played in the church band, so that was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night practice. There was Bible study Tuesday night. There was support group on Thursday night.
So keeping you busy.
Constantly busy. And then near the end, I wasn't actually working at the church any longer. I had a job outside the church. But, you know, so work 9 to 5 and then busy, busy, busy with church all the time just to keep you in that safety zone. You only mixed with people from the church. You only did things with people from the church. You were constantly trying to support each other in this impossible endeavour.
So what they say, you know, idle hands. So they were trying to keep your mind from getting idle.
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, so what happened after you were excommunicated? What?
The immediate actions were my flatmate was told to move out because we had a lot of house shares where people from the church would share houses with each other in the local area. Port Melbourne, South Melbourne, where we were. So I had to find a housemate very quickly. I was the topic of the sermon the following Sunday. Basically, the entire church was told that I was someone who was no longer a member, that I was not to be conversed with. I had people that I knew quite well who would suddenly, I'd run into them in the supermarket, they would leave their trolley of groceries, grab their children and run as if I'd suddenly sprouted horns and a tail.
Which is just... So not only, you know, you have to leave, but you also have to be ground into the dirt and treated like shit.
Pretty much. Over the following 6 to 12 months, a couple of my close friends within the church saw the way I'd been treated and reached similar conclusions themselves. And so I did maintain a few friends for a period from within the church.
And so let's sort of fast forward a little bit now. So what resolutions have you come to? Are you still spiritual?
I would say now that I'm fairly firmly an atheist, although I wouldn't mind it if there was a heaven.
Yep.
But I don't expect that there's one. I have very little religious activity in my life. I think the last thing was a friend's child's christening. And in fact, I kind of tend to follow the ex-gay movement or organisations that support the ex-gay movement, such as Gloria Jean's recently being found out for giving $30,000 to a movement that funnels the money through to ex-gay movements. So I get a bit antsy on that stuff. Otherwise, I'm just trying to live my life, and unfortunately, I'm still... I now battle with mental illness. I don't say that my years in the church caused it, but 8.5 years of trying to fuck with your head hasn't helped.
Look, absolutely. And would you say that if you could look back on a younger you now, go back to, say, you were 17 when you,
yep,
you were given that introduction, what would you say to yourself?
I'd say run. At best, I would say stay with the Uniting Church, stay with the moderate group that you know, because over the years they've really moderated their stance. They're probably the most accepting church in Australia of gay and lesbian people. In fact, some of the people I knew from my church now hold senior positions within gay and lesbian organisations here in Australia. I would have told myself, stay away from the fundamentalism, stay away from anyone that says you can change something so fundamental to your psyche, because it's only going to be damaging.
It's almost like the Beyond Blue campaign that was recently launched, where they basically were trying to force people who were left-handed to suddenly become right-handed, and if it's in your nature, it's in your nature.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. You can repress and suppress, and you can fill your life with activity to a point where you don't have any energy left to be sexual or to feed into your sexuality. But the second you stop, it's coming back, and it's coming back with quite a vengeance.
I think that if you suppress an important part of your personality, that's always going to be an issue. So as a gay man now,
yep,
how do you feel as a gay man?
I feel very proud. I am out in 100% of my life, so at work, at home, with my family, with my friends. I enjoy life. I don't have everything I want. A partner would be nice at this stage in my life, but these things, you know, take time. Otherwise, you know, getting out was the best thing I've done since, literally the best thing I have ever done, really. Forced me to accept my sexuality very suddenly, and I had to make a big decision because I knew that I would be tossed out. So it took me 8 or 9 months to actually decide I'm going to be fully and authentically gay.
That's an amazing thing, and, you know, I think it's such a privilege that we've been able to learn a little bit from you, and there may very well be some people who are uncomfortable with their sexuality or feeling like they're, you know, they could be in a vulnerable position where somebody like Exodus or somebody could come in and try and sort of manipulate to their own way. So to have you to be able to say, well, look, I've been through the whole process and I'm here and I'm still gay.
Yeah.
I think that really does go to show that it is, at least from my perspective, it is an important strong part of a personality.
And look, Exodus was never stupid. They always went after people who were younger, who were vulnerable, who were emerging in their sexuality. And I think that it's great we have groups like Minus 18. It's great that we have social groups like Vic Bears, that people who are emerging in their sexuality can actually connect with like-minded people and not feel that they have to change themselves.
So would you, I suppose, if there's somebody listening to this who's looking and thinking, is there a group or is there somebody I could talk to, what places would you recommend?
Oh, look, first and foremost, Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. These guys, I've worked with them before, they're really switched on. They know how to help you through these things. They're not a 24/7 service, but, you know, look up the times they're available and talk to them. If you're under 18, talk to Minus 18, talk to PFLAG. These are two other groups that are really, really good with young people. If you're older, look up the social groups or talk to your doctor, talk to your GP. You know, hopefully you've got a GP that is understanding and you can talk to about your sexuality. If you don't, get one that is. It's been a huge difference for me being able to have a gay-affirming doctor through the last decade of my life, who's been able to help me through some of these things.
Well, that's amazing. And Adrian, I just want to say a big heartfelt thank you. And there probably are going to be a few people that may have some questions or comments. Would you mind if they put them underneath this post? And
look, certainly I'll answer any questions anyone has. And if you'd like the answer to be private, just tag it as such and it won't go up for the whole world to see.
That's awesome. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.